Ben, if we look at Nate Pearson, I was telling George off the top of the show, I feel extra invested because I made a couple of purchases before his start. I was feeling extra bullish, extra confident. So I bought two off of eBay Nate Pearson autograph rookie cards. They look gorgeous. They're coming. Then that happened. 2 1/3 innings, and we know what happened the rest of the way. Am I feeling extra nervous because of my investment, or how did you feel coming out of this?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty cool purchase, first of all. As for the outing, not quite as impressive. I mean, obviously, you guys have seen it. I'm sure lots of people listening saw what happened yesterday as well, and it really was a rough game. There's no other way to portray what happened there. I mean, you think about walking five with no strikeouts. He just had no command for so many different at-bats. They were non-competitive pitches, non-competitive at-bats, walked in a run. It's really the opposite of what you want to see from your top prospects. So, you know, it was really rough. It really underscored he's got a lot of work to do. He's not where he needs to be. I think that's all pretty clear. And at the same time, it doesn't take away from the fact that Nate Pearson still is one of the best pitching prospects in baseball, and pitching against big league hitters is an incredibly tough thing to do and one that usually takes a lot of time. But of course, the fans and the coaches and the players, everyone wants it to happen right away. And that's understandable and that's totally fair. But at the same time, you know, it's worth just noting that it does usually take some time.
Ben, what do you think is the better course of action or road for Nate Pearson? Working on things down in the major league or in the minor leagues, or figuring it out here at the major league level?
Well, it's tough to know. Like, what I would want to know before making that decision would be, what did Pearson honestly think about that outing? Is he feeling 100% physically? As long as he's feeling 100% physically, then you kind of go to his mindset. And if he's still eager to compete and figure that out, then I would give him another start in the major leagues. Now, of course, we don't know exactly what goes on behind the scenes and, you know, what he's feeling or what he's telling the Blue Jays. If he really feels he needs to go down there and work some stuff out, I mean, obviously you listen to that. But barring something along those lines, then I would be content to put him out there for another start. But just knowing that you probably need to have somebody behind him, whether it's Anthony Kay or Trent Thornton, somebody who's there to potentially pitch a few innings if Pearson gets into trouble again, because we really can't rule that possibility out.
Ben, if the Blue Jays weren't so desperate and starved for somebody to start games for them, do you think Nate Pearson would have made that start yesterday?
I do think so. Yeah, I don't think that this was just, trying to fill innings. I think that they did it with his development in mind and the long view in mind, and it just didn't work. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, there's no debate on that. It did not work. But I think, you know, the interesting thing with this team now compared to last year, a couple of years ago, you're looking at a team that's trying to win, and really the division is up for grabs this year. We've seen that already. There's a chance this year for the Blue Jays to do some really good things, to do some special things, maybe win a couple playoff series. Like, that possibility exists for this team. And as long as that possibility is still there, they need to focus on winning games. So you never want to, you know, do wrong by your prospects. And of course you want to keep that in mind, but I think they went to Pearson, you know, balancing those two things. And I do think that going forward, they're going to call on him again, but they've got to keep in mind, you've got to be winning games.
I think that's a great point, Ben. And also, I like what you said about having to really have that backup plan on his next start, as a just in case we see what happened again. And listen, Nate Pearson, in the little time we saw him last year, in a few games, we saw him make those in-start adjustments. He's working on new mechanics and all that. So I'm really interested to see what he comes back with next. Not so much what happened, you know, everyone has duds, whatever, the control. It seemed to me like that his performance was potentially more of an outlier than what we've seen or what we expect. Is that fair? You know what I mean? Like, it was like, okay, he had a bad day. I want to see what you do next.
For sure. Definitely want to see what he can do next. And, you know, it's so early in his career, both in the majors and even in the minor leagues, that it's hard to really say, is this part of a alarming trend, or was that really a one-off? And it's a chance. Like, there's a possibility that he just doesn't have enough command right now, and that will be something that he faces throughout this whole 2021 season. We can't rule that out. And in fact, the most recent information suggests that possibility is a real one. But at the same time, he's a young pitcher. He's coming back from an injury. We know the kind of potential that he has. And so we also can't cross off the possibility that he's going to recover. And in a month's time, he's going to be striking out 8 or 9 or 10 batters in a major league game and walking 1 or 2.
Ben, we know injuries have been a big issue again this season for the Blue Jays. And I think we can all agree that the George Springer situation was maybe handled a little incorrectly. Maybe not bring him back into the lineup until he can actually play center field. And then he re-aggravated his quad issue. And we know that Josh Donaldson has been super critical of the sports science team of the Blue Jays. And I know injuries are a part of baseball. These things happen. But how much faith should Blue Jays fans have in the sports science department of the Blue Jay? Because I don't know, maybe it's recency bias, maybe it's confirmation bias, but it seems like the Blue Jays are dealing with injuries the last few years that maybe a lot of teams just don't.
Right. I think that much is undeniable. When you saw the graphic that we posted on the broadcast yesterday, it really underscored, hey, like compared to other major league teams, the Blue Jays do have a lot of injured list stints. They have a lot of injured list games missed. So, you know, that's a real thing. And so, you know, that obviously leads to the question of, you know, what's going on here? And it's a fair question. So the way I look at it is the Blue Jays, when Mark Shapiro took over as the team president, renamed the training staff essentially a high-performance team. And that brought with it some expectations and some new faces, some new ways of handling different things, and some tension in some cases, including Josh Donaldson and some others. So, and the Blue Jays were very, very public about that, very proud of the fact that they were using sports science to their advantage. And so that, in hindsight, I mean, Mark Shapiro has said publicly, is like, I wouldn't have named it high performance. I mean, you could just call it the training staff and no one's really going to think about it too much if you just call it the training staff. But they did go out there and call it the high performance, and here we are. So I don't think any team has figured out injuries. I don't think any team is particularly bad at them. I don't think the Blue Jays are causing these injuries. I think we can also say the Blue Jays are not solving them. They are not. They are certainly not the one team in baseball that's figured injuries out. That much is very clear. But I definitely don't think they're getting in the players' way. I think that they're helping the players as much as they can, and yet it's a very difficult sport. It's a sport with a lot of high-intensity, short actions that lead to this strain on different parts of the body, and guys get hurt. So I just think, you know, I tend to think that it's a department that's trying their best and was named poorly, and they're, you know, going forward, I don't think there's any reason for concern.
Do you think this potentially has something to do with how the team performs in spring training and how the players are handled then? And then that just ultimately comes out in the wash in the regular season if guys aren't completely prepared to play Major League Baseball, that we can look back to spring training and say, hey, maybe the team isn't getting prepared properly by the training staff.
I do think they're getting prepared as well as they can. I mean, I almost think of it like insurance, right? Like if I'm out there and I'm looking for, I don't know, car insurance or house insurance, and I buy the absolute best insurance that I possibly can, and I tell all my friends about it, and I'm like bragging about this insurance. I'm like, this is the best insurance ever. And maybe it really is. Like, I might actually have found the best insurance ever, but things are still going to happen. And right, you're still sometimes going to be in trouble. It doesn't mean that the insurance wasn't good. It's just things happen. That's the way I look at it.
I like that. In conversation with Ben Nicholson Smith, baseball editor for Sportsnet.ca, co-host of At the Letters podcast on Twitter at B Nicholson Smith. Ben, when you look at the AL East right now, coming into the year, we knew it was going to be competitive, of course, and it's lining up that way. Even the Orioles, who are kind of the afterthought, are still hanging around through the first month of the year. The Red Sox at the very top with the best record in baseball. What do you make of the AL East so far? And at least it's good as far as the Blue Jays go. We've seen them go in a single day from second to fourth. You know, it's that close between all these teams.
Yeah, and I think it's going to stay close. I mean, the Yankees haven't really run away with it, and they were probably the one team that could. So given that the Yankees haven't, then I think we're looking at probably a pretty close race for the next few months at least, because it takes a while to usually create some separation there. The Red Sox are an interesting team, of course, and I think to some extent they probably were an under-the-radar team entering the season, just because they did a pretty solid job of adding some depth players, whether it's, you know, Kike Hernandez, Marwin Gonzalez, making sure that Hunter Renfro was in that mix. And, of course, you were expecting some kind of bounce back from J.D. Martinez, which, of course, he's had an incredible start to the season. And the pitching, too, has been good with guys like Pivetta and Eovaldi. But to me, I look at their start somewhat as a product of playing a lot of the Orioles and Tigers, which the Blue Jays have not yet had the chance to do, and they, of course, will in the course of the full season. So I still think the Jays are a better team than the Red Sox. I still think the Blue Jays will finish ahead of Boston by the time the season's over. But right now, Boston's making things interesting, and the longer they sustain that, the more, you know, their chances improve of being relevant all year.
Yeah, and gives them a bit of a cushion, right, when they do inevitably go on a little bit of a slide. But my concern here, Ben, is, all right, let's say it is the and do the Blue Jays have a chance to win a division? Absolutely. But the division is so good and there's so much parity in it. My concern is when we look at the wild card pitcher, if they don't, because then you go and there's Cleveland and the White Sox in the Central. They're kind of back and forth. Kansas City, we saw them. They can hang around. You know, of course, then you got the West. Like, there's a case where it seems like there are enough teams that are sort of at that Blue Jay level that maybe the AL East sort of cannibalizes itself a bit because it is so good. And the Blue Jays might be in extra tough where, you know, they wouldn't be if things were a little different.
Yeah, and I think that's true. I think that's a fair read on things right now. I mean, the Jays, they're a good team. I still think that they're a good baseball team. Nothing that they've shown me so far suggests that they're you know, a Dodgers or Yankees level dynasty, but at the same time, they're definitely better than an average team, in my opinion, especially once they get Springer back. So, you know, I think that they're in this interesting position now where there's still a team on the rise. Maybe this time next year, they are the favorites in the AL East. I mean, that's a possibility for them, and they're trying to get to that place. But for right now, they're grouped with a bunch of other teams. Like, watching them against the A's and Astros this past week, I do think they're better than Oakland. But I think they're probably comparable to Houston. And Houston's on the way down, and the Jays are on the way up. But right now, the Jays haven't created that separation. And so maybe it comes in the second half of the season, or maybe it's next year, or maybe it's never, because it's baseball and it's hard to predict these things. But right now they're in that group of a bunch of different teams.
Ben, who pitches first at the major league level for the Blue Jays, Julian Merriweather or Alek Manoah?
I think Manoah. I mean, at this point, you know, you look at...
Okay.
I mean, I don't even think that's that controversial, right? Because Merriweather's on the 60-day, and he was placed there, I want to say, maybe he last pitched April 8th or so. So, you know, that means he cannot pitch before June 8th. And even then, there's probably going to be some time needed to get back to full strength. So we're looking at mid-season for Merriweather in a good case. And I don't know, like, Manoah was great. I think there's a chance that Manoah is up here. There's a good chance he's up here at some point this summer, and who knows when exactly that could be.
Ben, what do you think of the catching situation here with the Blue Jays? And obviously Alejandro Kirk was starting, his bat was starting to wake up before he got hurt, and Danny Jansen's bat woke up a little bit in Houston as well with a couple homers. I don't know what you get out of Reese McGuire. You think the Blue Jays will be actively trying to acquire a catcher here?
I honestly don't. And that's not to say that the catching situation is particularly good, because it's obviously not, but it's just a tough position to improve at in season. So I see them being more likely to ride it out with Jansen, knowing that he understands these pitchers really well, especially a guy like Ryu. It takes a while to get to know him and work with him. He's got that great rapport. And certainly knows the other various starters and relievers. There's some value in that for this team right now. So I think that they ride it out and just hope that Jansen can continue improving his offensive performance the way he has in the last week or so with those home runs. And if not, I think they kind of accept that it's not going to be a great offensive total or offensive production from that position right now.
Ben, is there any more of a way to expose a fan of baseball who really doesn't watch baseball too much is when they call it a back catcher?
I think that's someone told me that's a Canadian thing. Like someone told
really?
Me that, yeah. That, so it might be Canadianism to call it a back catcher, whereas obviously the more common way to call it now would obviously just be a catcher. But I think there might be something to that.
Okay, I like it.
That's it. So it might be a Canadianism, George. Might be okay. Canadianism there.
I like it.
Interesting. Ben, you always give us such great knowledge when you come on. We appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime.